Quickly and Marotta mornings. Arizona Sports, the local sports leader. Quickly Blast.
DeAndre Hopkins wins again, and this time his latest victim is the team that gave him everything he wanted a few years ago, including a golden parachute out of a wretched Texans organization. Do you remember how much D-Hop loved Arizona when he was getting everything he wanted? Now, very few elite athletes have treated Arizona more like a speed bump than this mercenary, and Hopkins will permanently reside as one of my least favorite players I have covered in 25 years here. And as a parting gift, he's leaving behind another PR mess for the Cardinals. Some see it as typical Arizona dysfunction, a team that couldn't even trade D-Hop properly, and others see a team that has no self-respecting star that wants to play for them at the moment. My hope is that this is rock bottom. This is the low water mark for an organization that has fallen hard in recent years. And my hope is that while Monty Ossenfort might have overplayed his hand here, losing a valuable asset just like he did with those tampering charges, my hope is the Cardinals' new GM will not be starstruck and desperate like his predecessor, but deliver on his promise to fill the Cardinals' roster with sincere football players who will willingly practice with passion, who don't quit on their teammates because they think they're bigger than the organization, because we all lose when only the player wins, and that will be the sorry, selfish legacy of D-Hop in Arizona. All right, today's Bickley Blast brought to you by my great friends at Chapman BMW, who make luxury attainable. Find them online at ChapmanBMW.com.
I just think there's a lot that's going into it. I mean, I think this team is going in a different direction. I think with his age, he's going to turn 31 next week. There's probably a feeling like, okay, well, by the time we get this going where we want it to go, that he's probably not going to be the player he once was. That's part of it. I think DeAndre has made it fairly clear, even if he didn't come right out and say it, I don't know if he really has any interest in going through that process of getting a team better in the first place. I know he never actually said he wanted to be traded, but he also never said he wanted to stay either. And he's done a lot of interviews where he could have brought that up. People have asked him about teams and quarterbacks, and he's talked more about that than, like, hey, I really wouldn't mind staying in Arizona if it could work out. I mean, he wouldn't even kind of say that.
That's Darren Urban with Wolf and Luke from Friday's show when this news broke that the Cardinals are releasing DeAndre Hopkins. But I gotta rewind a part of the blast, Bick. Well done again.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, one of the least favorite athletes you've covered in 25 years?
Yeah, I mean that. I think that he has not been a team guy. I think the refusing to practice really helped erode the culture, whatever culture was here when Cliff Kingsbury took over. I think the controlling his emotions, flipping off a ref, putting himself back in a game. The PED suspension, and then quitting the last two games on his teammates last year just because there was no benefit in it for him. I'm going to stand by that.
The PED suspension thing is sort of an underrated disappointment part of his regime, because it really, really just pretty much threw off the whole season right from the beginning.
There's no doubt about it. Yeah, it certainly did. So I think back of what the Cardinals did for him. They rescued him out of a situation he no longer wanted to be in. And we all thought, oh, that's a Houston issue. No, that's a D-Hop issue, because he just did it to us. And I think about how appreciative he was and how thankful he was for the Cardinals to not only trade for him, but to give him the money he deserves. Where was that sense of gratitude last year? Where was the sense of gratitude in the offseason? Where was the sense of gratitude when maybe adjusting your contract could have helped you get traded? Maybe I'm a little over the top on this, but it's just the way I feel about the guy. He was, to me, not a winning player. That's the way I view him.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly didn't play out that way. I mean, other than the first year with the gaudy statistics, that was in the bubble year. And the statistics were gaudy. Let's not make a mistake about that. You had the highlight catch against Buffalo, which I think was probably the height of DeAndre Hopkins' stay in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
And really, you know, coincided with the time, and that had a lot to do with it, of a lot of optimism of what he could bring this team. And it never got back to that level. It just didn't. So no. I don't disagree with you on a lot of these points.
And the disappointment's commensurate with the potential and with it, what I thought that player was and who he was and what he was going to do for the team. And for a while there, it looked like, I mean, his first year, he was everything you had hoped he would be.
Yes. For one year. But everything wears out.
No. Yep, exactly.
And I wonder, too, you know, people were talking about, you know, why did the Cardinals come to this conclusion? It's quite obvious that they were not able to work out a trade to get something back for DeAndre Hopkins. You know, why take the cap hit and not just keep DeAndre Hopkins? You have to, you know, read the tea leaves in a lot of this. And I think this might be an indication on what the organization's stance or what their belief is on Kyler Murray's availability this year. If Kyler Murray's coming back early in the season,
mm-hmm.
it becomes a lot more feasible, at least in my mind, to keep DeAndre Hopkins around. You might win some football games. I don't think the Cardinals themselves are expecting to win many football games this year. And I think a lot of that has to do with they don't have belief that Kyler Murray's going to be back in the first half of the season. I've not really wavered from that since the injury,
mm-hmm.
and we don't get much in terms of concrete updates. But why hurry him back at this point? You're embarking on a rebuild.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody wants to use the word tank, but hey, if you want to go there, feel free to go there. Why hurry him back?
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about that. I think that assumes he's going to miss a sizable chunk of the season. And I guess that's the logical conclusion. It is what most people think is going to happen. And maybe that is why they folded their hand when they did. I think it was really just a case of, I think they realized whatever asset we get back in return for DeAndre Hopkins, it's not going to be worth the money that we're going to have to pay him cash. Now, the cap hit is the cap hit.
Yeah.
But there's no more cash going to DeAndre Hopkins from the Arizona Cardinals.
No, there's not.
So, yeah, that to me is, and again, this has opened them up to another round of criticism from people who just roll their eyes like, the Cardinals are so stupid they just let DeAndre Hopkins go?
Yeah.
What's the matter with them?
Couldn't get anything for him?
J.J. Watt doesn't want to play for them. DeAndre Hopkins, nobody wants to play. And again, J.J. Watt has no issues with the Cardinals at all, but that's what I've seen out there.
Yeah.
Oh, Buda Baker doesn't want to be there. D-Hop wants out. J.J. tapped out.
I hate to put you on the spot, though, but going back to your list, who else is on it?
Oh, I'd have to cobble that together.
Oh, I didn't know if you had it your head.
No, I
didn't. But Hopkins is definitely on it now.
Yeah, he is. He is on it. I think he's been very duplicitous, and I think that he's been slippery is the word I use frequently.
What about all those amazing appearances he made on the Bickley and Murata show?
He was good.
Oh, he was fantastic.
Didn't he once say that
his uncle listens to everything?
Yeah, but
he said
if you wanted to get him on sports radio, I'd
right.
pay him.
That's right.
He did say Uncle Hop.
Hey, Uncle Hop.
I don't know if he's listening anymore.
No.
He's listening to WGR in Buffalo, 5:50 a.m. It's time for Character Counts, presented by Parker & Sons Cooling, Plumbing, Heating, and Electrical. On Friday, Arizona Diamondbacks General Manager Mike Hayes and his family and Team President Derek Hall presented a $200,000 donation to the Ivy Brain Tumor Center. The $200,000 donation was matched by the Women's Board of Barrow Neurological Foundation for a total of $400,000. The presentation was on behalf of the Nicole Hazen Fund for Hope to benefit the fight against brain cancer for Brain Tumor Awareness Month. D-backs players also wore shirts to honor the Nicole Hazen Fund for Hope during pregame warmups, and the team's 50-50 raffle during the game was set to benefit the Ivy Brain Tumor Center. Nicole Hazen, Mike's wife, died last August after her battle with glioblastoma. The fund in her name was set up to help patients access treatment and support. Character Counts, presented by Parker & Sons Heating, Cooling, Plumbing, and Electrical, your one-stop shop for total home comfort. Coming up next, DeAndre Hopkins' time in Arizona is over. But another player is not happy right now. Appears that he might be coming back. We'll get into the latest with Buda Baker straight ahead. It's Bickley and Murata mornings here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Dan Bickley, Vince Murata. Bickley and Murata mornings. Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Myself, JG, we've had a lot of
conversation with Buddha and his representation, a lot of productive conversations, and those continue to happen. I understand that Buddha went public with his request last week. I would say that the conversations that I've had with Buddha I want those to remain between Buddha and I. Those are personal. Those are private. And, I'm not going to get into a situation where I'm handling one of those situations in the public forum. So I hope you guys appreciate kind of that. But again, I think I've been clear about how I feel about Buddha as a person and a player, and nothing about that has changed.
That's Monty Ossenfort back on April 21st, leading up to the draft, when all this was relatively new, and that was what Monty Ossenfort alluded to in that soundbite. Buddha Baker going public with his trade request. Here we are about 5 weeks, 5+ weeks since that particular soundbite, and we do have a little bit of update on the Buddha Baker situation. He, unlike DeAndre Hopkins, is still a member of the team. He did not participate in week one of OTAs. Don't expect him to. Well, the voluntary adjective is still attached to those workouts. But Cam Cox from 12 News in their sports department caught up with Buddha Baker and asked the question, hey, you're going to be at the mandatory team activities in the first week of June?
Oh, yeah, of course. I'll be there when it's time to be there. When it's time to be there, I'll be there smiling, same regular guy that I am, and, just excited to see those guys again.
And how he's handling the situation as it is right now?
For me, personally, I'm just, letting the business aspect handle the business aspect, letting my agent handle all that type of stuff, and like I said, just continuing to have tunnel vision on my work ethic and, being the best person I can be outside of football as well, and just enjoying life, enjoying this offseason, enjoying working hard each and every day, and, just excited to go back and, play football again. So for me, it's just control what you can control, let the business aspect, let them handle that, and continue to just work hard.
Kind of refreshing to hear a Cardinal who wants a trade not talk about every other team in the NFL, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, right. Of other secondaries that he'd love to play
oh,
with.
Oh, man, I'd
other
love
safeties.
To play with that guy.
Oh, man. I'd love to play with Derwin James, man. That would be fantastic. Yeah, I agree with you. So I do think what's interesting here is I think what we can safely assume now is that any move made by Steve Keim, regardless of what it is now on the chopping block, is now up for debate. Monty Ossenfort, though, has clearly made an exception with Buddha Baker. He's one of the existing guys that he has been very consistent in his praise for, and I think it's also because Monty's been very clear in what type of player he's looking for. And I, even though I think Monty's, he had a great draft, but the other stuff, it's a little mixed so far. There's not really been any great free agent acquisitions, and this isn't really the time for it anyways. But the big question really is going to be is if this team is willing to swallow this money from DeAndre Hopkins and just wipe him off the books to save the cash, what does this mean for Kyler Murray going forward? Does this mean what we're watching now? Because it ties into what you said. Because I could see the Cardinals going, okay, now that we've got D-Hop off the books, even though we're taking a salary cap hit, but it's lightening up the cash that we have to spend, then maybe we can give Buddha a little kiss here. Maybe. Maybe not. But I do think the type of player they want, Buddha checks that box. Now, is Kyler Murray the type of player they want? So far, he's been great. The reports from JG... Vinny and I were just having a conversation about that.
Hard to say.
It's the hardest nickname to coach's nickname since Bo Mel to deal with. Yeah. Hey, Bo Mel, who's in the lineup today? His name is like Bob.
So, why are you adding a syllable? Yeah,
right, exactly. So to me, it really does raise this question, because if you're Kyler Murray, and so you're putting your best foot forward in rehab because you're the first guy there, last guy to leave. That's what Jonathan Gannon keeps saying. Mm-hmm. No reason to doubt him. If he doesn't come back, you have to wonder at what point in time would this organization go, okay, you know what? If we cut Kyler Murray at a certain time, and Charles Robinson wrote about this on Yahoo Sports, we could divvy up the amount of money we owe him over a couple of years, and you take a terrible salary cap hit. But if, you fall in love with Caleb Williams, that's my point. My point here is that Kyler Murray has got a great contract going forward that's going to make him largely untradeable. But at the same time, he's playing for his job too.
Yeah,
I would think
he kind of is. And look, I've heard from people, so I'll bring this up when the Caleb Williams name comes up as a possibility for the Cardinals. And yes, it's May. We get it, but get used to it. Because the Cardinals are going to be in position, if all things go right for Caleb Williams, the returning Heisman Trophy winner for USC, if they all go right this year, he's going to be the projected number one pick. The Arizona Cardinals are likely going to have the number one overall pick.
And maybe the number two overall pick as well
as it all shakes out.
Yeah.
They're going to be in position to make massive changes to the direction of this organization should they choose to. That is my expectation for next April's draft.
Yeah.
And by saying that, my expectation for this upcoming football season.
Mm-hmm. And as Jared pointed out, something I didn't even realize, you've got that game against the Texans, and it seems like the all-time tankathon, yet it really isn't. Because you've got their draft pick.
It's a win-win slash lose-lose.
That's exactly classic what it is. Yeah. So, listen, I think that this is the X factor in it all. Kyler Murray, how quickly does he return? Does he return with the knowledge? Is he liberated by having a real professional, competent head coach, if that's what Jonathan Gannon is? Does he benefit from much better culture, which I don't think it could get worse, to be honest with you.
It certainly appears that it was at rock bottom.
Yeah, and it certainly appears like Kyler Murray is much more agreeable to being at the facility than he was in the past. And what is that all about? Is that just maturity, or is that a reflection of, okay, you guys got some people in here I respect? I don't know.
In a lot of ways, an injury like that will humble a player.
That too.
Refocus a player.
That too.
And again, it's not something that Kyler Murray has ever dealt with, and it's a bummer that he's got to deal with it now. But you said it. I mean, there's a lot of aspects of him playing for his job.
It also will depend on how far away do the Cardinals think they are. Because if this year is sort of a, you know, tank or rebuilding year, next year's a year where they have all those draft picks. If they think they're still, you know, that year they're just going to get a bunch of young players, they're like 3 years away still, then they might say, like, it might be best to start, you know, from scratch with the new quarterback if we're 3 or 4 years away from competing.
I don't think any NFL team would ever project a 3 or 4 year rebuild, nor should they.
Well, listen, I shouldn't even bring this up, but I got an email from somebody familiar with Clayton Tune, and he said, this guy's going to be your starting quarterback. I'm just putting this out there because he's that team guy. He's everything that in ways that Kyler Murray hasn't been. But again, I shouldn't even brought that up because now I've derailed this conversation.
One of the other candidates for the starting quarterback position was at a broadcast booth this week. Did you watch any of Colt McCoy on the USFL?
I missed that.
I didn't. I think most of America missed it.
Yes, it was.
But I did somehow see it come up on social media.
His check cleared anyway.
Yeah.
Well,
I was going to say, Vinny, were you watching the XFL over the weekend?
No.
USFL is over.
Get your spring minor league football league right, Bickley.
Rock's going to body slam you if you screw those.
Are we going to? I think there should be a USFL championship game against the XFL.
if they both make it through their seasons.
You're kind of facetious about that, but why wouldn't they do that? They should do that.
Because the XFL players are already in, a lot of them are in NFL camps. They've already dismantled their rosters.
It's a good idea, though.
Yeah, if they ran concurrently, but they run at different
times. Hope is, do you guys ever like open like the middle compartment of your car and there's a bunch of receipts and you're like, man, I eat out a lot, or man, I spend too much money. You ever do that? You just get
daily.
Yes. But he knows what I'm talking about. I hope Kyler Murray's got a big bundle of receipts, just a handful of them,
If you do, Kyler, I suggest you protect yourself and shred them.
Or keep them for tax purposes.
That's right.
Go ahead, I didn't mean to
do
that.
No, that. Because you think of the criticisms, you think of the mockery, you think of all of it.
Absolutely. I'm going to send him a year's worth of Bickley Blasts and see if he just gets going.
I've defended Kyler Murray quite frequently.
I know. You're the one that has, all last year, you were saying that if he becomes great, it doesn't matter what happens with the rest of the team. He has that much talent that he could carry.
He can.
He could carry the franchise.
Well, and I'm rooting for him selfishly to get back just because I want to see it. But I've been wanting to see what Kyler Murray looks like in a different NFL offense. It's not attached to Cliff Kingsbury for 4 years. I want to see it.
And we're going to see it.
Yeah.
We're going to get it.
So hopefully sooner rather than later. Coming up next, we'll continue to talk Arizona Cardinals, the release of DeAndre Hopkins, the direction of the offseason with Kyle Vandenbosch, Cardinals broadcaster next. Spickley and Marotta Mornings here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Spickley and Marotta Mornings, Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Big news on Friday, Cardinals making it known they're releasing wide receiver DeAndre Hopkins after 3 years with the team unable to come to a trade agreement for him. Here to talk about that, Cardinals offseason, former Cardinal, now member of their broadcast team, Kyle Vandenbosch joins us here on the Arizona Sports Line. Kyle, good morning. How are you, man?
Good morning, guys. Good to hear from you.
Good to talk to you. Obviously, big news on Friday, and obviously, worst case scenario. Let's be honest about it. When DeAndre Hopkins has shown the door, you don't get anything back from him for him. That is not the situation you want to be in. Just, I guess, your overall reaction to the situation the Cardinals found themselves in.
Yeah, I mean, it could have gone much better. It is not the worst case scenario. Worst case would be this extending through the summer, through training camp, still no D-Hop. And really at that point, holding on to him, still not knowing whether he's going to be a part of the offense, whether you're going to get a deal for him. Frankly, I'm glad that the drama is over, that the questions are over. Obviously, there's some misstep there that we were unable to get a trade to get anything for him. But at the same time, look, take analysts out of this as somebody that played in the NFL and somebody that loves the game of football. I think it's the right move for this organization. You bring in a new GM, a new head coach that talk about we are looking for team first guys. We're trying to change a culture. We're trying to play football, practice football, do football things the way football has always been done and the way it's meant to be done. And you can't say that, and especially as a new coach, it would immediately kill your credibility to say these things and have everybody moving in one direction and operating under the same set of rules and standards except for one guy.
Yep.
You need everybody in that locker room to embrace this culture. Look, I think everybody, including probably players in that locker room, understand that there's going to be hiccups this year. But this is a team I could root for. This is a team that I know is doing things the right way. Not a team that, I expect to see things differently. I expect to see starters playing in the preseason. I expect to see starters practicing in the preseason, because you can't be good at football without practicing the game of football.
Yeah, and especially if you don't want to practice the game of football, then you're right. I agree with you 100%, because you were that guy. Nobody had to tell you to practice hard and to play hard. Your motor was legendary. And I want to ask you, from your perspective, what is it like for people that do feel that love and passion to have to absorb a player that has his own rules and doesn't have to practice? I would think that would be damaging to culture.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Look, let me say this. There is all kinds of different personalities, attitudes, agendas in an NFL locker room, and it is ultimately on the head coach and the coaching staff to manage the personalities in your locker room. But when a personality becomes unmanageable, when there is a refusal to have buy-in, when somebody else doesn't necessarily have the same types of values as you do, particularly as a head coach, then sometimes tough decisions need to be made. And look, I don't have a drop of the talent that DeAndre Hopkins had, but what I had, I understood my value. And as a leader, as a team captain for 9 years in the NFL, I lost sleep. I stayed up nights thinking about, how do I get the team in going the right direction? How do I bring this player along? How do I get him invested, him involved? Because, I understand it seems like in today's age, teams are more of a collection of individuals and talent and skill and less about the team. And quite frankly, you know, DeAndre Hopkins could probably get better training elsewhere. Buda Baker can get better training elsewhere. Kyler Murray can probably find somebody who is elite to help him with his rehab, but none of that helps the team. That helps them as an individual, but it's not going to help them as a team. And I always saw a locker room comprised of two different types of players. Players trying to make the team to either be a part of the team or collect a paycheck. And then there's the players that are trying to make the team, which means they're invested. They will stay after practice to work with other players. They want to bring everybody else along because they understand in the end that helps and will impact your wins and losses in the fall.
Kyle VandenBosch, our guest here on the Arizona Sports Line. 3 years now with DeAndre Hopkins in Arizona. That comes to an end, obviously, with this announcement, Kyle. And Bick and I were talking about it on how we would sum up that experience. Now, was it worth it? Yeah, I think the Cardinals made a good trade 3 years ago to get DeAndre Hopkins. But now that it's all said and done, how would you sum up the DeAndre Hopkins experience in Arizona?
Hey, it was certainly worth it. I mean, there was a, you know, certainly his first year, he was still dominant. And I think wherever he goes, he's still going to put up numbers. He still has the ability and potential to be a number one receiver. He is an elite talent. You know, he's a potential future Hall of Famer. So, looking back, this wasn't just a one-sided deal where, you know, we gave up a lot to get DeAndre Hopkins. We also, you know, we were stuck with David Johnson's contract, trying to find a way to get rid of it. So in the end, I think it was a good trade. It was, you know, we had assembled at the time a very talented roster. And with, you know, for, you know, parts of his tenure here, you know, the Cardinals at times look like the best team in the NFL. So he was definitely worth it. And, you know, again, look, it's not just about DeAndre Hopkins' numbers on Sunday. It's not just about his touchdowns and his catches. He impacted a game because he would dictate coverages. He would simplify things. You're limited as a defensive coordinator in the amount of things you can do when you have a player like DeAndre Hopkins on the field. So I think it was definitely worth it. I think you know, sometimes it just doesn't work out. And you see it all around the league. You see it in the NBA. You see it in Major League Baseball. Sometimes you've just got to take a chance on a player, you know, but there's always that risk. If you bring in a disgruntled player from another organization, when things go south, he's probably going to become disgruntled again. It's typically not a one-off. If a player, you know, has problems and, you know, if the team is struggling and he wants out, well, then when your team struggles, you can probably guess that he's probably going to want out as well.
What do you make, because I agree with everything you're saying, particularly about the cohesiveness of message going forward and relative quiet as it applies to Buda Baker. Do you think that there's room for this, for these two sides to kind of run it back, or are you not optimistic about where this is going?
Oh, I think they have to. I think, look, you know, both Monty Ossa-Ford and Jonathan Gannon at their introductory press conferences specifically mentioned Buda Baker as, this is the kind of Cardinal we want everybody to model themselves after. We want people to practice, prepare, and play like Buda Baker does. And if you let him walk out the door, look, there's two sides to this. You don't want to set a precedent of players demanding more guaranteed money, a different contract with 2 years left, because that becomes a slippery slope and you may deal with that every single year. However, when you say this is the kind of player we want as an organization, I think you need to reward that type of player, because Buda Baker isn't going to change with more money. Buda Baker isn't going to put it in cruise control if he gets, you know, a big guaranteed contract or they throw some money his way. He is going to stay the same. You know how he's wired. You know all of his traits. You know that he will stay hungry regardless. So I think that they will come to an agreement. I think that they have to. I think, you know, everything to me, look, I'm not a capologist. I understand this DeAndre Hopkins thing. You know, we're going to take a big cap hit this coming season. But I think you've just got to find a way to reward the players that are your bell cows, that show up every day, that play through injury, that have a burning desire to prepare the right way and to win football games.
Yeah, totally agree with you. Kyle, great stuff. Thanks for coming on.
Great
man.
Stuff
Good to
as
talk
always.
To you.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Kyle Vandenbosch, Cardinal broadcaster, joined us on the Arizona Sports Line. Coming up next, Suns getting closer to hiring a head coach. We know who it won't be. We'll get into that and more next. It's Bickley and Marotta Mornings here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Bickley and Marotta Mornings. Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Both the Phoenix Suns and Sixers were engaged with Nurse's agent Andy Miller of Clutch Sports today. But ultimately, Nick Nurse goes to Philadelphia. Number one, the chance to coach the MVP, Joel Embiid. And Sixers president GM Daryl Morey, he worked with Nick Nurse in Houston. They have familiarity history, certainly a lot of history between Nurse and the Sixers during his five-year run in Toronto, including that 2019 playoff series on Nurse's way to winning that championship with the Raptors. But for the Sixers, really a significant hiring.
That's Adrian Wojnarowski from ESPN on the hiring of Nick Nurse by the Philadelphia 76ers. I know a lot of Suns fans were holding out hope that Nurse would come to Phoenix to take over the Suns. And the reporting out there from Woj, Gambo has added on to it and suggested that Nick Nurse was likely using the Suns for leverage
now,
in the Philadelphia hire.
Okay, but let's stop and examine that for a minute.
Okay.
Wouldn't that be disappointing if his interest in the Suns wasn't even legit?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So the idea that this was just some sort of charade, like, okay, we're going to interview you because you're a big time name, but we don't feel you and you don't feel us. I don't know about that. Nick Nurse was the number one candidate. He was widely considered the number one candidate on the market, widely. So whether or not he was offered a job or not, I have a hard time believing the Suns were not interested in Nick Nurse.
To some degree, obviously.
Yeah.
They brought him in for the interview. We don't know how far that interview went, how well it went.
Mm-hmm.
It might be the Suns' perspective that, hey, we didn't get that feeling that Nick Nurse was all in here. Maybe that was his tack.
That's true. I mean, because if he was their number one choice and they interviewed on Thursday, was it?
Yes.
Then they probably realized, okay, this is not, we're not feeling this.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they probably would have made an offer. So, yeah, I believe that's very conceivable. But that doesn't mean he wasn't their top choice. That's what I'm saying.
But when you look what's in place, like, people will talk about, you know, and we've heard it time and time again in different sound bites from different reporters, Adrian Wojnarowski among them, that the lure of Joel Embiid was too much for Nick Nurse to pass up, to play with the MVP. All right, he's in place.
Mm-hmm.
What else the Sixers have in place? You know, Tyrese Maxey is a nice young player.
Mm-hmm.
The James Harden question is still out there, whether or not he's going to be there. But if you're looking at what's in place, it's hard to beat what's in place with the Suns from a 1-2 standpoint.
I think Booker and Durant is better than Tyrese Maxey and Joel Embiid. If we're assuming that James Harden goes back to Houston, then, and that seems to be the rumbling, then I think that you're taking that job for other reasons. And there's nothing necessarily condemning of the Suns in this. Nick Nurse has got a pre-existing relationship with Daryl Morey.
Mm-hmm.
Who's running the show in Philadelphia. That's essential if you're a head coach, is to have a really good working relationship with your general manager, especially if your GM is staying there and you're coming in. So that to me is, I think that obviously has a lot to do with it, but I do think that, you know, I think the Suns are not going to get their first choice in this. But I think both things can be true.
Yeah.
I think they might have gotten a very good feeling like he's not ready to commit to us. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and you're wondering why that didn't happen. I mean, maybe through Nick Nurse's eyes, the newness of the Matt Ishbia ownership regime, still finding its footing. This is the first, I mean, it's a weird situation for ownership to take over a team that was as good and competitive as the Suns midseason. That doesn't happen very often.
No.
So they transitioned through it the way they chose to transition through it, and that was by making a big splashy mm-hmm. Trade on the day Matt Ishbia takes over. We see the results. You know, a couple people on Twitter reach out to me, too, about... you know, you talk about what ifs all the time, especially in Suns history. What if? Would anything have been different? Have you thought about this at all? What if Kevin Durant didn't twist his ankle in pregame warmups?
Yeah.
What if they had that extra 10-game ramp up? How much different could it have looked? Now, 10 games is a blip still, but it's still more than double what they got in the regular season.
Yeah, and I do think that the Suns made the decision that, okay, you know what, we had a few games with this, and it looked effortless, and it's going to work. Just get back by the playoffs. And I do think that that's not it either. So I do think, does that not happen pregame warm-up? I think maybe the Suns are a little more fortified. Maybe they're a little more together.
It's possible this version of the Suns, with all the pieces that weren't Kevin Durant and Devin Booker, were never going to be the Denver Nuggets of this year.
You might be right. And, you know, history might show us, depending on what happens in the NBA Finals, we might look back and say, wow, the Suns actually gave the Nuggets kind of a test. They didn't have many in the postseason.
Yeah.
That remains to be seen. But to what you just said, too, about the just get back by the playoffs and we'll be okay, that works when you've got a team that's built together, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It worked for the Lakers. You know, Anthony Davis and LeBron James, if they're back by the playoffs, that they're playing, you know, to a level close to what they're capable of, they could make some noise. That's what people said about the Lakers. To their credit, they did.
Worked for the Warriors last year.
You're exactly right. But when you're acclimating a whole team to the presence of somebody as huge as Kevin Durant is, in the grand scheme of things, you just need more time.
Yeah, I think that's the lesson here, and that's why I personally am very limited in how much failure I put on this last experience, because I think it was a wild swing of the bat to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you were going to win a championship with Mikal Bridges and Cam Johnson. I think the shot they took was a better shot, and they didn't get it done. This next coming year, the next 2 years, as we have talked about, they're going to be essential. You've got to get one in the next two.
Yes, and that leads us to the next Suns' big move. Is that who are they going to hire at head coach?
Mm-hmm.
Gambo's put out there today that the list is down to three: Kevin Young, Frank Vogel, Doc Rivers. The Frank Vogel thing is a little bit interesting to me too.
Yes, because for a while he was the name missing from some of the national guys who were reporting.
Even what they're showing on ESPN right now, Woj is saying it was down to Nurse, Doc Rivers, Kevin Young, and Jordy Fernandez. Does not mention Vogel. So yeah, he was sort of
interesting.
He was sort of missing from the
And according to Gambo, Jordy Fernandez not in the running anymore.
Yeah, and that I believe, because if you're going to go with a first time associate, you go with the guy you already know.
Yeah.
Unless the other guy is just that good.
Now we've heard a lot of glowing things.
Guru good.
Yeah. But, you know, he was with Denver for 6 years on Michael Malone's staff, and obviously had big influence in what Sacramento did under Mike Brown this past year. So I don't think Jordy Fernandez is long before he gets... I don't think it's long before he gets his first head coaching.
I got a shiver down my spine when he just said the word guru.
Brought me back to...
Yeah, it brought me back. I don't know, but I hadn't heard that word in a while. And
you're funny, Jarrett. I'll go back to sleep, Jerry.
We're not supposed to use those four-letter words
right,
on this show.
That's right. That's funny.
Coming up next, Sarah will take us through some social studies. It's Bickley and Murata Mornings here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.